ಅದನ್ನು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನಿಂಗ್. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನುವಾಚ ವೇತ್ತ ಇದಂ ದ್ರೋಣಪುತ್ರಸ್ಯ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಸ್ತ್ರಂ ಪ್ರದರ್ಶಿತಂ ನೈವಾಸೌ ವೇದ ಸಂಹಾರಂ ಪ್ರಾಣಬಾಧ ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇ.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, know from me that this is the act of the son of Drona. He has thrown the hymns of nuclear energy, Brahmastra, and he does not know how to retract the glare. He has helplessly done this being afraid of imminent death.
Sri Krishna knows everything. He's saying, know from me, he's saying, I will tell you. This is done by Ashwatthama, and he has put the Brahmastra chant. In that purport, middle purpose is, the subject of science of chanting hymns is also material, he says. But it is yet to be known by the modern material scientists. Subtle material science is not spiritual, but it has a direct relationship with the spiritual method, which is still subtler, he says. A chanter of hymns knew how to apply the weapon as well as how to retract it. That was perfect knowledge. But the son of Dronacharya did not know how to retract. He only knew how to apply it. And just like our Vishwamitra Muni created the Trishanku Swarga. He knew how to create it. There is one of the Ashtasiddhis called Prakamya. But he didn't know how to withdraw it. You see? Similarly, this fellow didn't know how to withdraw it. And 28th one, read the translation.
O Arjuna, only another Brahmastra can counteract this weapon. Since you are expert in the military science, subdue this weapon's glare with the power of your own weapon.
Yeah. So here Krishna is telling him how to retract. And then Suta Goswami is telling in the 29th verse, Arjuna touched the water for purification and then he circumambulated Krishna. You see, again Arjuna is following the rituals without compromise. And then he withdrew both the Brahmastras. By sending one, he withdrew. And then all the population of the three worlds was scorched by the combined heat of the weapons. And they all thought that Samvartaka fire has come, but everything was over, and then he retracted. See, in the 32nd verse, it says that, Prabhupada says in the purport a very important point. Read the purport quickly.
The theory that the modern atomic bomb explosions can annihilate the world is childish imagination. First of all,
Prabhupada says childish imagination that the whole world can be destroyed, because some scientists said if a third world war would come, again the human race would be wiped out, and there will be a handful of humans left, and they will be having bow and arrow, and they will be completely, you know, having no civilization development or anything. Like that some scientists said. Prabhupada knows about it, so he is defeating that theory. Prabhupada is saying that to say that if there is atomic war, the whole world will be destroyed or wiped out is a childish imagination. Why, Prabhupada says? Read for that.
First of all, the atomic energy is not powerful enough to destroy the world. And secondly, ultimately it all rests on the supreme will of the Supreme Lord, because without his will or sanction, nothing can be built up or destroyed.
That is the main point. Without his sanction, without Supreme Lord's sanction, nothing can be built, nothing can be destroyed. Now, what is the proof for this? Like, you can see that when Brahmastra was thrown by Ashwatthama, he didn't know how to retract it. And Arjuna didn't know how to retract it. But Krishna taught. If Krishna can retract a Brahmastra, can't the same Krishna save the world from nuclear weapons also? Which the scientists may try to throw. And without Krishna's sanction, no scientist can destroy the world, because it doesn't belong to the scientist in the first place. Like that Prabhupada says. When Krishna allows a war to take place, then only war can take place. In fact, the wars are nothing but Durga Mata, Durga Devi, arranging fight between two continents or two countries. She arranges, because she has a big homework to do. Her assignment becomes very big sometimes, because people have killed millions of abortions, millions of cow killing. She's wondering how to kill million people now. This is a big homework for me. Then she creates a war between two countries. Prabhupada gave the example of two students catching each other's ears by the order of the teacher. and sitting down and standing up. Like the two countries are told to fight with one another, and in that war, all those people are killed. Like in tsunami also, 3.8 lakh people died in tsunami. So 3.8 lakh people, certainly, why they died in tsunami? Some of them are buried under the sand because the water, then it went up like that. Why they were buried under the sand? Because they, in their previous life, they might not have allowed children to see the light of the sun by aborting them in the womb itself. If you keep the child inside the womb and abort, similarly, one is buried under the sand by water and killed also like that. So she kills on a mass scale using either natural calamities or through wars like that. So Krishna doesn't directly do it. He does it through his agency, which is Durga. And therefore, without Krishna sanction, scientists thinking that we are worried about our atomic bombs, that the whole world, the purpose is who worries about your atomic bombs? Because even if you make atomic bombs, you have no right to kill or you have no ability to kill, he says. Unless Krishna sanctions. That is the point, he says. Now the 33rd verse, enemy Ashwatthama was captured. In the 34th verse, both Krishna and Arjuna are angry. But Arjuna's eyes are like red copper balls, whereas Krishna's eyes are like lotus petals. Because even in anger also, Krishna is very sweet looking. Because Krishna's eyes are like lotus petals, because Krishna knows everything, he is fully aware. So he doesn't become overpowered by Rajoguna or anything like that. Whereas Arjuna is a living entity, he becomes extremely angry in this particular situation. And Krishna is telling Arjuna, don't show any mercy to this Brahma Bandhu. You should kill him. Because he killed the boys when they were sleeping. This is the verse I told you, 36th verse. Please repeat this. Mattam pramattam unmattam. Suptam balam striyam jadam. Prapannam viratham bhitam. Naripam hanti dharmavit.
A person who knows the principles of religion does not kill an enemy who is careless, intoxicated, insane, asleep, afraid or devoid of his chariot. Nor does he kill a boy, a woman, a foolish creature or a surrendered soul.
So that is this next concept called nonsense non-violence, which means, now Prabhupada said violence and non-violence have to be exercised according to their place. Like you heard about this, some three Buddhist fellows raped one Maratha woman in Nagar. And all three of them abused her and they killed her also. So all the Marathas became extremely wild now. They went on a big morcha in Nagar also, they had a big meeting. In Pune also, connecting that, along with that, they had their other petitions and requests also. So the Marathas have placed a very strong request to the government that these three Buddhist fellows have to be given death sentence. Because they spoiled her purity and they also killed her also. So they will do the necessary action. So in those days, action was instantly taken in such kinds of situations. So here also Krishna is telling such people should be killed immediately. So there is a place for violence and non-violence. See, in the spiritual world there is no violence at all. But in the material world, violence is required to keep order. Because the living entities have a tendency to go outside Lakshman Rekha for enjoyment. They always want to do wrong things. Break the law, state law. As soon as some opportunity presents itself, the living entities go beyond the proper regulation and activities. So for smaller deviations, there are smaller punishments. For larger deviations, there are larger punishments. And here, this is the largest deviation possible from the standard of human conduct in the case of Ashwatthama. So he deserves to be killed. It's atatai. So such action has to be taken. Sometime in the name of religion, people are unnecessarily propagating non-violence. So Prabhupada used to call it as nonsense, non-violence. One time when Prabhupada was abroad, he had gone to meet one Buddhist guru. And the guru was talking the whole lecture on only compassion, non-violence and everything. And Prabhupada was supposed to speak, so he took the mic and he spoke on how non-violence is good, but violence is also good in certain instances. it's necessary for keeping the law, order, everything in this world. So, but that Swamiji didn't agree. So Prabhupada then had a conversation with him. And Prabhupada asked him, see, you have male and female disciples. If you are all walking on the road, if somebody catches the hand of your female disciple and pulls, what you will do? Then the Guruji thought for a few seconds and said, oh, no, I won't do anything. And I said, then the lady disciple was shocked. One lady disciple said, oh, Guruji, you will not do anything? You will not protect us? She asked. Then the Guruji was in confusion, what to say. So Prabhupada laughed. Prabhupada said, see, if somebody is catching the hand of your lady disciple, you have to catch his hand and give a slap. At least a slap to begin with, at least. If he's continuing to do nonsense, you may have to take more serious action. Correct, no? Like when Prabhupada was in Calcutta, he was on the stage, and one news came to Prabhupada that, you know, Prabhupada, some chits have come, fly or die, and communists have sent. So they are telling you to get down from the stage and you have to stop the program, send away all the people. And Prabhupada was in no mood. So he said, who are the fellows creating trouble? Call them to the side. I will talk to them, he said. Then there were some youths who were communist youths. And some of them were called. Prabhupada talked to them and everything. And when he dispersed them, then they went away. There were some few people still. And then Prabhupada played the kartal and sang, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpavriksha Laksha Pritesha Surabhi Rabipalayantam Lakshmi Sahastra Shatasam Ramasevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. Like that, Prabhupada sang many paras from Brahma Samhita. Completely the audience became cooled down. They all sat. Although there were a small group of people creating trouble. And he went on with this program. So, and in the later part when there was a kirtan and dancing, some people were coming to the front, some young people. And they were trying to, some of them were trying to climb up the stage and to create some kind of trouble on the stage. And other devotees are pushing them down. They don't climb up, don't come up. And some of them, young boys, they were trying to pull the sari of the American Matajis. American Matajis were dancing on the stage. So they come. So Prabhupada had his this thing. Karta like this. Prabhupada was whirling like this. Hey, who is trying to disturb my disciple? Asis was like Swarshan Chakra. So Prabhupada not only spoke, he also, yeah, he was ready for a fight. Although his body was old, surely, in another time you will find Prabhupada, when I was walking with Brahmananda Prabhu and our Gargarshi Prabhu on either side. So while arguing with some Mayavadi, he said, see, if you blaspheme Krishna, I have two strong people with me. Don't blaspheme. He said. So, in this way, Prabhupada showed that Buddhist guru that it is nonsense, non-violence. There is a place for violence, there is a place for non-violence. Correct, no? So, like Krishna chastised Arjuna for not fighting the battle, correct? In the beginning of the Kurukshetra battle, you'll find. So we find that in this world is mixed with the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. So one has to know to act accordingly. That's why Krishna is telling here, Arjuna, you may be a soft-hearted devotee, but you have to kill this fellow because, and he's giving reasons also. In the 37th verse also he's giving reason, life for a life. A cruel and wretched person who maintains his existence at the cost of others' lives deserves to be killed for his own well-being. Otherwise, he will go down by his own actions. That Prabhupada explains the purport, third line, that a murderer is condemned to death sentence by the state is good for the culprit because in his next life he will not have to suffer his act of murder. Such a death sentence for the murderer is the lowest possible punishment offered to him. And men who are punished by the king on the principle of a life for life are purified by all their sins, so much so that they may be promoted to heaven. You see, in North India also, one woman was exploited in a bus by four or five drivers, conductors. And in 3-4 days, she was admitted in the hospital and she died also. It came, I think, last year or the year before? 2012, some 2-3 years before. So this is a similar instance which I told you now. So imagine if such culprits are hanged. Do you think others will have sufficient fear or not? What do you think? Huh? Yeah. It is said that, you know, one monkey you hang, then all other monkeys learn a good lesson. Correct, no? They will not do the same thing. So there was violence, such kind of apparent violence, because this violence is actually called justice. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes a lot about you know, slaughtering animals and everything, writing about that. 38th verse, Krishna is reminding him of the promise. Furthermore, I have personally heard you promise Draupadi that you would bring forth the head of the killer of her sons. I was intending to finish by 12:15, because first 15 minutes are taken by shloka recitation. Is that all right with all of you? So you need 3 hours to complete the syllabus, and 15 minutes you take for shloka recitation. So, and then 39th verse is telling Agrasar must be killed. See, the 38th verse, he is reminding him that I heard you promise Draupadi that you would bring forth the head of killer of her sons.